If you have your Bibles with us, we're looking at James, and we're starting to read from James chapter 1, verse 19, which can be found on page 1213 of the Church Bibles. So James chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If you turn over to chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You know, some things are made for each other, aren't they? They exist on their own, but somehow they're not really complete until they're brought together. Take crackers as an example. Crackers exist on their own. You can't deny that fact. There's a nice plate of them up there. But on their own, they're just dry and crumbly, perhaps not much to get excited about. However, when you bring in some cheese, wow, that's a different story completely. Because now those dry, crumbly, plain old crackers, they have purpose. And a very yummy purpose it is too. Well, what about Han Solo and Princess Leia? And let's be honest, you'd be disappointed if I hadn't got some sort of Star Wars or sci-fi reference in this morning. On their own, they can achieve some great stuff. But it's only when you then bring them together do you get that chemistry. And you know, I have to admit that in that recent film, The Force Awakens, whilst it was a good film, it just wasn't right, was it, that Han Solo and Princess Leia were separated. just wasn't right. Which then brings us onto the passages that we read this morning in our second installment on the series of James that we're looking at. Listening and doing. Faith and deeds. As Frank Sinatra once famously said, you can't have one without the other. And in the verses that we've read together, James doesn't pull any punches, does he? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, I think it's important to point out at the very beginning here and have an understanding of what James means when he's referring to faith in these chapters. What he's not saying is that our salvation is to be found through what we do and not faith alone. Far from it, salvation only comes through a genuine faith in the risen Christ, through an understanding and a true acceptance of the life that's offered freely by God. Can we boast then, says Paul, that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. This life that comes through Christ Jesus doesn't come with provisos. You know, it's God's gift to each one of us if we truly believe. And it seems too good to be true, doesn't it? We're all brought up to believe that there's nothing in life that comes freely. So how on earth can salvation be offered freely to us without the need for us to actually do anything? Well, that's because the cost of that life has already been paid in full when Jesus hung and died upon a cross, something that we're going to be remembering later on around the communion table. So when James refers to faith without deeds being dead, he's not referring to salvation through works, but is instead directing his gaze to those for whom faith is just something that's surface level. They acknowledge and they believe in God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But their faith has no depth. And this is then evident in the way in which that faith operates within the world around them. And you know, I think this is a challenge for all of us this morning. For it's a constant reminder that the depth of our faith in the risen Christ is not measured by the use of elaborate theological words, or even the songs that we sing, or maybe even that sense of peace and inner well-being that we have. It's how we then act that faith out. How that faith within us then drives the way in which we impact our communities that we live in day by day. As Paul said to the church in Galatia, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. And that expression of faith in love takes place through what we do. I don't serve my God through my deeds in order to be saved. I serve because I am saved. Martin Luther, a leading figure in the Protestant Reformation of the early 16th century, said these words, faith is a work of God in us, which changes us and brings us to birth anew from God. It kills the old Adam, makes us completely different people in heart, mind, senses, and all our powers, and brings the Holy Spirit with it. What a living, creative, active, powerful thing is faith. It is impossible that faith will ever stop doing good. Faith doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before it is asked, it has done them. It is always active. And I think that's a great quote. It's impossible that faith will ever stop doing good. Faith doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before it is asked, it has done them. And those works are not done in isolation, but they're done through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon all of us when we put our faith in Him. Now, there are many people in this world, past, present, and future, doing fantastic good works for others. Many who have given their whole lives over in service of other people. Many, I'm sure, that we know personally, who are always there for us, always there to offer help. And you know, many of these people do this without having necessarily a faith in God. They do it because they're compelled to do so, because it's the right thing to do. Now, I think that actually what compels them, even without them even knowing it, is that God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. But I guess the question is what more can Christians do if we know that our actions are not just our own, but they're accompanied by the full power of the Holy Spirit working in us? You know, actions without faith can only last as long as this world does. Actions accompanied by faith in the one who has conquered death bring so much more through the power of God. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. So the question this morning is, what is it that God is asking you to do today? Well, that's where the first part of this reading comes into play. Because you see, before we can do anything, we must first take time to listen. Listening's hard, isn't it? At least it is for me. You know, to properly listen, you have to distance yourselves in many ways from the constant chatter and distractions that are going through in your mind as you fully focus on the one that you are listening to. Now, I have to admit, I've mentioned this scenario to you before, but I think it works well here, that it comes back to that time when you're intently watching something really interesting on the TV, and your wife enters in and starts a conversation, and you're not really listening because the TV program is just too important. And so you go along with the pretense of pretending that you're hearing everything that's being said, answering yes at the right times, until eventually the probing questions that come your way basically find you out. And it's very clear that you have no idea what's being talked about. And you know, it's the same thing that James is referring to here in verses 23 and 24, when he gives us the perhaps comical illustration of the man who looks into the mirror, sees his face, and then as soon as he walks away, completely forgets what he looks like. You know, I guess in today's world, it's almost impossible to forget what you look like, isn't it? If your house is anything like ours, as soon as you leave one room that has a mirror in it, you walk past countless other mirrors. But in James's day, not many people possessed a mirror. There were certainly no photographs, and the selfie stick hadn't even been invented. Hardly anyone had their portrait painted or hung on a wall, and so it's very easy to see how someone who might just catch a fleeting glance of their reflection in a surface would then promptly forget what they saw. But if they were to stop and take the time to study themselves, to look intently, then what they would see would stay with them much longer. And it's the same when it comes to listening to God. If the attention that we give to God is no more than a fleeting glimpse into a mirror, you know, when he speaks to us through his word, our response is just a, that's interesting. But then we quickly move on to something else. Have we ever really listened at all? The one who listens is the one who stops before God, who sits at his feet, and who asks the very same thing that Samuel did when the Lord first revealed himself. When the Lord came and he stood there, calling at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And you know, taking the time to stop, to be still and to listen to God is not something that we do just the once. It's an ongoing activity. Going back to James's illustration, we could spend hours standing in front of a mirror, checking our appearance from this angle and that. And I'm not going to make any comment as to whether anyone in this room does that on a regular basis. But you see, if you were to then walk away after you'd seen your image, even for many hours, I can guarantee you that if you never saw your image again, there would come a point where you would start to forget what you looked like. And it's only by returning back to the mirror or by flicking through the photographs that you can remind yourself of just how truly good-looking you really are. You see, constantly spending time in the presence of God, listening and talking to Him, enables us to then continually live in a life that's in tune with Him, in tune with what He is saying constantly to us through His Word. Now, I can't remember which preacher recently used this analogy, but they described spending time in the presence of God through prayer and conversation as being like a recharging of the batteries. And you know, in this hectic world in which we live, with the constant drains on our time and on our energies, we can't afford not to be plugged in, can we, to the source of that power on a regular basis. We must take the time to wait on Him and to listen. But then coming back to the point then that James is making from these passages this morning, listening, however intently, on its own is still not enough. But don't just listen to God's word, says James. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. As we've already looked at this morning, the faith that we have in Christ is not a passive one. It's one that compels us to then serve. And it's through our listening and our spending time with God that He then reveals the direction that He wants us to take in that service. You know, I'm reminded of a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Now, as the song that we played at the beginning of this sermon mentioned, we are God's hands and feet. We are called to be the salt of the earth. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, says Paul. But that won't happen if we, as heaven's ambassadors here on earth, don't do something about it. And I would add an additional line to what Paul said. And how can anyone be sent unless they listen as to where they are being sent? So the question is this morning, where is it that God is sending you today? You know, it can be a huge challenge, can't it? Acting on what God has told you. No question about that. Many years ago, when I was still a member of Sudbury Baptist Church, I remember one of the deacons at Sudbury asking me if I would be willing to lead the first part of an evening service. I have to admit, the thought absolutely terrified me. And I thought, that's not something I'm going to do. But I did it anyway because I felt it was the right thing to do. After a number of times of doing this, I was then asked if I would then preach the sermon on an evening. I can't tell you the number of times I must have visited the loo that day. And I have to be honest that 20 years on, I still find standing up the front here preaching a really daunting prospect. But you see, now I know with certainty that this is what God wants me to do. You see, if we spend time listening to God, we must then obey what He says to us and obey that call that He puts upon our life, no matter how hard it may seem. But the great thing is that we know that when we're walking in the will of God, no matter how hard that might be, we can have absolute certainty that we do not walk alone. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So where is it that God is asking you to walk today? And you know, I open up this question to way beyond just things that take place here in the church or the activities that we're doing. I haven't been asked to preach this morning just so I can fill up the gaps in all of the rotas that we have. Although saying that, if you feel called to serve in Sunday school or in welcome break or in jelly tots, then fantastic. Because if this is where God is calling you, that is where you should be serving. But you see, to be God's hands and feet in this world, we need to be where God is. And God is everywhere, isn't he? Not just here in the church building. He's in your home. He's in your local community. He's in the place where you work. You know, in the NIV, the section of scripture that we read from James chapter 1 has the heading, listening and doing. In Tom Wright's translation of the New Testament, called the Kingdom New Testament, he entitled this section, The Word That Goes to Work. Now, I read this as literally God's Word living in me, going to work with me Monday to Friday. And you know, for me personally, where I currently work is where I know God wants me to be. I have no idea why. As I'm sitting in meeting after meeting and sending email after email, I do question that sometimes. But for some reason, that is where I believe God wants me to be. So where is it that God is asking you to serve today? You know, I talked about the need to constantly be in the presence of God, listening to him, that chance to recharge our batteries. But you see, another reason for constantly spending time with our Heavenly Father is to ensure that where we are serving is still relevant. And by that, I mean that God, as well as God calling you to a particular area of service, he may also be calling you to lay something down that you're currently doing, often in preparation for something new. And I apologize because I'm aware that this is probably the bit where everyone who's running rotas within the church is looking to me and firing daggers in my direction. But you see, I think sometimes it's easy, isn't it, to just continue doing what you know. You've been doing it for many years. You know the drill. You're also concerned, let's be honest, that if you're not doing it, who else is going to do it? There's no obvious answer that you can see, and so you continue to serve. Now, the calling that you received from God all those years ago was a genuine one, and in faith you responded. But is this still where God wants you to be today? Only listening to God, only listening to his word, are we then able to find out whether or not there are changes that he has in store for us. And you know, that question of who else will step in and do the work if we step down is a real one, isn't it? Especially perhaps in a smaller church like ourselves. But the danger is that if we constantly pile on the work, thinking somehow that we are honouring God through it all, but drowning at the same time, it's not healthy, and it will ultimately lead to total burnout. You know, someone recently said to Karen, if God is calling you to lay down the work, lay it down. Who picks it up after you is God's concern, not yours. And you know, we talk, don't we, about how we are all part of one body. Each one of us has a specific role to play. But if, as a foot, you think that somehow you can honour God by being both the foot, but also a leg, an arm, and a toe, or whatever it is as well, then I would say that somehow you've misheard the call. Because our work and our service must be channeled in the direction that God tells us to do so. And also at the time that he tells us to do so, not by a sense of obligation. We must listen to God. For what might God be asking you to change today? As we draw to a conclusion, I refer back to the video that I showed at the beginning of the sermon. We're called to be God's hands and feet in this world. But the calling is uniquely different for every single one of us, just as we are uniquely different, just as each one of the people in that video were uniquely different. Maybe God is calling you to be to champion a cause, to stand up against injustice in your communities, in your place of work, maybe on a global scale. Maybe he's calling you to open up your home to others, to offer hospitality to those who need it. Maybe he's calling you to a particular job, even though, like me, you don't know why. Maybe he's just asking you to comfort a friend in need, to be a light in an otherwise dark place. But whatever the calling, one thing is clear. Our faith is not static. It's active. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in a world that's crying out for what we've received. We don't receive that Spirit within us just so that we can sit on our backsides and glow in some feel-good factor of knowing that we're saved. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith without good works. So faith is dead without good works. An active faith that's making a difference in the lives of those around is another stamp in our certificate of authenticity that we're looking at in James. This again is living life as the real deal. So, what is it that God is asking you to do today? I don't know. That's between you and God. But one thing is certain. It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Amen.